Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.fistoffun.net.
I'm Stuart Lee.
And my Christmas name is Richard Herring.
Yay.
And you're just, of course, preparing for the Lee and Herring Xmas party. All the gang are here getting ready for our guests. I'm decking the boughs with the studio with Holly. What about you, Ronnie Ancona?
Oh, I'm very busy, I am. I'm making a list and I'm checking it twice just to make sure I didn't make some tiny error the first time I checked it.
Good idea. What about you, Kev?
I'm polishing my white beard and thinking about the tiny baby Christ Peters.
Oh, yay. What about you, Pete? What are you doing?
I'm making a buffet and having goodwill.
Oh, good. And we're all eagerly waiting for our special celebrity guest to arrive so the festivities can get underway.
Well, we're not really. We're just sitting in a dingy studio in Radio 1, as usual, and all the people in this week's show are just sitting over there opposite me, smoking and drinking beef and tomato soup out of the Radio 1 drinks machine.
Shh, Stu, you'll spoil the magical illusion for the little kiddie winks.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it is exciting.
Yeah.
I'll just put this decoration up then.
I've put on Wickfield's rendition of Wham's Last Christmas.
What?
Which is, frankly, much better than the Dow original. You listen back to George Michael's curmudgeonly voice when you hear it next time. Small boy from the McCain's Oven Chip advert.
Most excellent.
Yeah. Whoa, great. Hey, look, it's Rod Hull, Hunter and Fred Talbot all together.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, say hello to all our guests, Kev.
Piss off, why'd you do that?
Say hello.
Merry Christmas.
Friends, the man who drinks medicine outside the tube station and the lady who lifts up her dress to the traffic.
My turkey's got German eyes.
Oh, look, it's Histor and Pliny from Sky TV's Histor's Eye.
Hello, me hearties! Merry Xmas!
He said egg!
I love your show! It's most excellent!
He said egg!
Excellent. Who's this, then?
Most excellent! It's my best friend! I took the liberty of inviting the man from the Ferrero Rocher advert who says, Excellente!
Excellente!
Most excellent! Say, we've got loads in common. I hope you don't mind.
I don't, as long as you brought along the woman from the Ferrero Rocher advert who says, Monsieur, with this Rocher, you're really spoiling us.
Oh, no, no, no. She'll look down on me and the boy from the McCain's advert because we only say one or two words, whereas she got to say a whole sentence, even though her mouth moves completely differently to the words.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Excellente.
Oh, it's Rod Hull again.
I am the real Rod Hull! The other Rod Hull is an imposter! I'm not! You are! Your voice is nothing like mine!
Oh, no, how can we prove who the real Rod Hull is?
It's easy!
As a fair cop, I'm going. I only did it because I'd give anything to be Rod Hull. Anything! Do you hear me?
Hello, yeah.
Yay,
welcome
what
to
an
our
party. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Event.
Rod Hull confusion.
Yeah, I think all our celebrity guests are here now, aren't they? Everyone's
no, Stu, hold on, you're forgetting. We're just having some mulled wine. We have one other celebrity friend who isn't just one of our friends putting on a stupid voice, don't we?
Well, we don't. Do
we do. I think I can hear small footsteps now. Here she comes. It's Annabelle Giles. Here she is.
Rich, the tragic thing is that Annabelle Giles is our one celebrity friend, but she has actually failed to arrive, hasn't she?
No, she is. So here she
Where?
Hello, I'm Annabelle Giles.
Rich, that is you.
It isn't. It's her.
You putting on a stupid voice.
Well, you don't say that to Kev when he does Rod Hull.
Well, you know, it's
Hello, I'm in Hit the Road, John Leslie.
Even as we speak, Annabelle Giles is probably in a taxi cab, heading here from Heathrow Airport, listening to that on Radio 1 and feeling enormously insulted by it.
But I met one of my big celebrity heroes this week, you know. Or
who?
I tried to.
Who?
Do you know, Julia Swallow. I saw her for the first time
Where?
In my life. A party, and the loaded party, which was rubbish.
Ooh.
And
I walked past her and I looked at her and she double-taked, but then I was embarrassed and didn't talk to her, so blew it.
Well done, that's a very impressive story, isn't it?
Thanks.
Really, really achieved something there.
Thank you,
Lindy. Yeah,
good. Yes, it is. It's a very good story.
Yes!
That's excellent!
Shut up, guests, we've got to get on.
Okay, before we go on, actually, with the festivities here tonight, we're legally obliged to broadcast the following letter in order to avoid court proceedings, which is in reference to a certain item in last week's show about the actor Anthony Hopkins.
Dear Leon Herring, I am writing to protest in the strongest possible terms about the sketches last week in which I, Anthony Hopkins, a respected Oscar-winning actor, was implied to be harboring repressed sexual desires for my co-starring actresses, desires which eventually vented themselves in a most disturbing and perverted way. I deny this completely and will be seeking legal advice. Yours sincerely, Anthony Hopkins. P.S. I am wanking as I write this.
Well, she didn't wimp out this time. I thought she was going. That's good there, and thanks to everyone who wrote to us this week using Tony's catchphrase there at the end of their letters. I was particularly impressed with a letter from Catherine Walker, whose friend Finn wrote Anthony Hopkins' famous catchphrase there in a Christmas card to her as a kind of joke that she'd understand, but Catherine's mum saw it, obviously not understanding where it came from, and now thinks Finn is a very unsavoury fellow, as you can imagine.
Just say say you copied it off the radio. The radio's a bad influence.
I was sorry I didn't talk to you, Julia. I wish I had.
Yeah. In honour of Annabelle Giles being on the show this week,
yes.
Ultimately, if she gets here, this week's phone-in is, we're going to do like that, what they do on the Christmas show of this morning.
Yes, and of course in honour of me, because I do the weather on this morning.
Yeah, and in honour of Kev, I mean Fred Tolbert.
Yes, that's right.
So what we're going to ask you, what they do on this morning, on the last show of the series, they get all the experts to sit in a big line, all cracking gags together, and anyone can ring in with any question in the world they want to ask. Want us to ring in, anyone here in the studio, Rod Hull, any of the real people here, the boy from the McCain's, ask any question you've always wanted to ask. Could be a question about them, like, what's your favourite jelly, Rod Hull?
My favourite jelly, spine jelly!
Or it could be a trivia question, such as, Stu, what's the capital of Greenland?
I don't know.
Well, you know, at least we've asked. So, it could be help with some Christmas homework, whatever. Ring in on
0500 110 100.
And everyone who actually gets on the air with their question will win a Leon Herring video. Everyone this week, so that's something to look
That's right.
To.
Also, last week we asked you to write in and vote for the most mediocre things of the year. Annabelle Giles was going to read these out, but she's in here. Rich, what's the first award for mediocrity?
The first award, it is me, Annabelle Giles, is the award for most mediocre thing of 1995.
And what are the nominations?
And the nominations are the I Don't Believe It cartoon in the Daily Mail, written by someone who thinks that giving the main character a moustache will avoid infringing the copyright of One Foot in the Grave.
Oh, yeah.
The pop group Northern Uproar.
Oh, yeah.
And Raise the Roof with Bob Holness.
And the winner is...
And the winner is... Oh, I'm so pleased, Stuart Annabelle Giles. It's Raise the Roof.
Raise the
Hooray,
Roof.
Bob Holness.
Raise the Roof.
Well done. Most
well
mediocre
done.
Thing of 1995.
Coming up next is a Christmas novelty track from John Shuttleworth.
Yeah.
We couldn't actually get an original copy of this, so our producer's friend Harriet had to bring in a copy that she'd taped off the radio. And remember, that is illegal if you're doing it at home. that's why the quality's a bit crackly, and this is called The Christmas Orphan.
Hooray.
Christmas time! Yes, indeed. Once again, the festive season is upon us, with all the commercial razzmatazz that entails. It's also a time for families to come together. Though, sadly, for some unlucky souls, this is not possible.
The village school lies empty, all covered in snow. But on the steps a little boy sits. He's got nowhere to go. His parents were overcome by fumes when fire swept through their home. Now he's a Christmas orphan all alone. Christmas is a time for the family, but for an orphan, how can it be? You've got your presents around the Christmas tree. What's an orphan got? Just his memories. The little boy gets to his feet and wipes the tears from his eyes. Then he sets off down the lonely street. Where are you, mummy? He cries. He's so cold and hungry. He wishes he was at home. He doesn't know he's it's a Christmas often all alone. Christmas is a time for the family, but for the little boy, how can it be? You've got your presents around the Christmas tree. What's an orphan got? Just its memories. The boy comes to a doorway, sits down and falls asleep. The wind is wild and angry, the snow lies thick and deep. In his dream he hears a voice which whispers tenderly, wake up Christmas orphan and come with me. Took him by the hand and led him through the snowy skies. At last they came to the heavenly gates. Who is it? Saint Peter cries. It's me and a Christmas orphan. Please let him come inside so he can be with his parents at Christmas time. Yes, Christmas is a time for the family and for the little boy. That's how it's going to be. He walked in through those gates and saw his family, his mum and dad and God in all his majesty.
That's very nice, John Shepworth. It's great actually doing a Christmas show. It's very festive, isn't it, Stu?
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah.
I was wondering though, Stu, what exactly is Christmas? I've heard a lot of talk about it and you get presents and stuff, but I've no idea what it is. What is it?
You've no idea what it is?
No.
Well, Rich, lucky for you, I have here a tape of the Sky TV Children's Educational History Programme, Hister's Eye, produced, of course, by Hister's here in the studio.
Ah, yes!
There he is there.
Playing it!
And Hister's Eye this week explains exactly what Christmas is.
Children, I was just about to weigh the anchor. Hello, it's me, Hister, Sky TV's one-eyed pirate History Crow.
And it is 5 stone 3, Hister.
What did you say, Pliny?
I said the anchor weighs 5 stone 3. I weighed it for you like you asked.
Oh, thank you, Pliny.
What?
Although weighing the anchor can also mean to raise it out of the water so the ship can go to sea, on this occasion that was not what I wanted, as the ship is hulled and needs to stay in port. I actually wanted to find out how heavy the anchor was, as I am filling in my Pirate Crow tax form, which requests exactly that information.
I think you will still be cross with me, Hister, as I did have to raise the anchor in order to put it on the scales. So even so, I have still done the opposite of what you desired, and consequently I'll have to be punished and called names again as usual.
No, Pliny, because this week I'm electing you off.
Omelette!
Because it's Christmas, the season of goodwill.
Goodwill, like a bird's bill.
Goodwill to all men.
All hens. What is Christmas anyway, Hister? I've never heard of it, although quite how that's possible, I don't know.
Oh, Pliny, you must have heard of Jesus the Christ, or at least Santa Claus.
Claws, like a bird's claws. No, I haven't.
Very well, then it is time to lift up my flap again and unveil my most secret wonder, my excellent magical historical eye. Let us return to the dawn of time as the crow flies. It's North BC, Pliny, and we're in a little town called Bethlehem.
How still we see it lying.
Yes, but look yonder, Scurvy Crow, at that rude stable. And look who is in it.
Hello, Hister, it's me, the Virgin Mary. I'm sorry the stable is meek and our clothes are rude, but all the rooms at the inn were full.
Hister, what is a virgin?
You never mind about that, young fellow, me lad.
It's all right, Hister, I'm not embarrassed. A virgin, Pliny, is someone who has not had sex.
Not had eggs. She said eggs.
No, Pliny, I said sex.
Eggs.
By which I mean when a man takes his penis.
Better be quiet, the Virgin Mary. Now is not the time for such talk.
Hister, what is that horrible thing mewing and puking in the food trough? That's unhygienic for the animals.
Shush, Pliny. That is the baby Jesus. He's come to save mankind from bad things.
Like an egg that has gone bad, a bad egg.
No, that's just rubbish.
Yeah, all right, sorry.
But look who's coming now in their royal splendor.
Hello, Hister. We are the three wise men from the east. We have brought gifts to offer.
Earther. That is French for egg, earth.
To offer for the new baby king.
Gold I bring to honour the king.
Frankincense to offer, have I?
Myrrh is my gift to the tiny prince.
I've got a present for the little baby Jesus too, Virgin. I hope you like it.
Oh, thank you, Pliny. Lovely paper.
I wrapped it myself with any grown-up's help.
Oh, a pair of pants. Lovely, thanks.
I didn't know what to get him. He is the son of God. He literally has got everything, but you can't go wrong with a pair of pants.
You numbskull, Billy! Pants are not an appropriate gift to celebrate the birth of the new Messiah.
Oh, pants are a better present than myrrh, his
son. No, they aren't. That myrrh was very expensive, you
know. It's the thought that counts, not how much you spend. What is myrrh, anyway?
It's a very special thing.
You don't know.
I do. I'm not going to tell you, though. Plus, it comes in a nice bottle which you could display on a sideboard once all the myrrh is gone. That's better than pants.
It isn't. Look, the baby Jesus is playing with the pants. He hasn't even touched the myrrh.
I'm sure the baby Jesus likes all the presents equally. Really, I am.
Don't be stupid, the Virgin Mary. Gold is obviously the best.
No, frankincense is better than gold.
No, piss off. Who'd want that?
Really?
They're all lovely.
Shut up, Virgin.
Shut up.
Hey, you lot, I am the innkeeper. The Virgin Mary, I said you could stay at my table if you keep quiet. You're disturbing my proper guests, the Pharisees, and other Bible men. You'll all have to leave.
Oh, please let me stay, innkeeper. We'll freeze to death in the snow. I have got a tiny baby.
I don't care about that. Go on. And you pirate history boots, get out of it.
Well, I hope you're satisfied, Pliny. For the second week running, your antics have led to history being altered again.
A hen?
No, this time your mistake is most serious. Thanks to you, the baby Jesus perished in the snow before he even so much as even cured one leper. And thus Christianity never existed. The whole of human history has been altered thanks to your extraordinary stupidity.
I don't care. I'm glad the baby Jesus died.
Well, you shouldn't be. If Jesus never grew up, then it means he was never crucified at Easter.
So what?
That means you won't be getting any Easter eggs this year.
Oh, no.
Yes. So this week, the yoke is on you, Pliny.
No, Histor, because the egg symbolism in the spring festival dates back to a pagan tradition far older than Christianity, which was in turn appropriated by the developing Christian faith in an attempt to add credence to its own festivities. So I can still have my eggs. Eggs, I said eggs.
But Pliny, if Jesus never lived, then this is no longer the season of goodwill.
Goodwill?
No, so I can punish you for waiting. The anchor from Beak 4. Come here, you.
Ow, my cloaca.
Now, that's what I call a Christmas cloaca.
Hope you have a cold Christmas and a good new year. No, we don't ever stop and take the time.
Twin fairies on top of the comedy Christmas tree.
This is the Drugstore Fan Club Christmas single, which I've got and you haven't, and it's called Christmas at the Drugstore. Drugstore are unique amongst Anglo-American indie bands in as much as they're fronted by an old Brazilian woman who looks exactly like my gran.
Is it your gran?
No.
Simon Mayo for the big holy Christmas with the beautiful South in session.
Christmas morning, 8 a.m.
Live with Chris Evans. More music, live guests including Mick Hucknall, Cher, and the Archbishop of Canterbury plays personality or parson.
Christmas Day, 5 p.m.
The
Radio Tip Top Christmas Cracker. 2 hours of Yuletide pop with Kid Tempo and the Ginger Prince. More music for Christmas on 97 to 99 FM Radio 1.
And I think I can hear Annabelle Giles' footsteps coming up the pathway.
Hello, loves, darling.
Oh, here she is.
Annabelle Giles.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh. Shut up.
Absolutely. Annabelle Giles got here 5 minutes ago.
Shut up. Well, Glenn Ramby, you can ring in and ask Annabelle and anything. How are you, Annabelle? You all right?
I'm completely fine, thank you. Yes, a little bit rushed off my showbiz feature.
Where have you been?
Well, do you know, I've been in Glasgow doing Win, Lose or Draw with my showbiz pals.
You've done that, haven't you, Ronnie?
I did.
We'll look forward to seeing that series. All our friends are on. They've got some top celebrities on that. Is the boy from the McCain's Oven Chips advert going to be on that?
Oh, yes, you bet!
Good, I'll look forward to that.
We've got a couple of calls online. Let's have a question from Mark. Sorry, Mark.
Hello.
Hello. What is your question, please?
What symbolic qualities are present in Sunset Song by Lewis Grassett Gibbon?
Directed anyone in particular?
Well, I'll take that, because I've got a 2-1 degree in English Literature from Oxford University.
Okay.
Who was the...
So
who was the novel by, Mark?
Lewis Grassett Gibbon.
Sorry, that's before my time. Can't really help you there. I should imagine that the symbolic qualities are probably something to do with life, truth, justice and relations between men and women in the 19th century.
That's quite a good answer. I think you'd get something for that.
Put that down.
Thanks a lot. Another call?
We got a call from Jeremy on the line. Hello?
Hello?
He's got
Jamie, actually.
You've got a question for the McCain's Oven Chip Boy, and what is it?
Yeah, thanks a lot. I'd like to know, what exactly is a southern fried coating?
It is much older chicken minced up and coloured with orange chalk dust, and it's most excellent.
There you go.
Thanks, Jamie. I hope that answers
your question. Very good.
Just quickly, there's time for the second lot of the mediocre awards, which are... Annabelle, could you read them out?
Right, yes. The award for most stupid voiced person is the next one. And the nominations are Joe Pasquale, Jimmy Knapp, and Rod Hull.
And the winner is...
The winner is Rod Hull.
Hey, Rod.
Absolutely delighted, and I really am delighted. Thank you very, very much. And I suppose I ought to put on my stupid voice.
No,
this
there's
is
not.
It.
There's not time.
Oh, right.
It's time to go and meet Simon Quinlan.
Hello, it is me. Yes, you have correctly identified me with your ears. It's Simon Quinlan. I do hobbies. You need know no more information than that at this juncture. This week's hobby is the best hobby you could ever do. What you will need for this week's hobby: a fir tree and a bucket, some coloured paper, a flask of weak lemon drink, and a deep and genuine love for your real and living God. This is a good hobby to do at this time of year, as it celebrates the birth and life of a great man, some would say God, for whom the date, the 25th of December, is an important anniversary. This hobby is called the Celebrating Quinlankmas Hobby. Yea, verily, for I am the man stroke God of whom I was speaking just a few moments ago. For it is written by me that upon the date of the 25th of December 1964 did Simon Quinlan come down to find Santa he had visited. And, well, just listen to this.
Good morning, little Simon.
Good morning, Mummy.
No, young Simon. You're a grown man of almost 5 years old. You must not call me Mummy anymore. My name is Mrs. Quinlan.
Sorry, Mrs. Quinlan, I forgot.
Good. Has Santa been this merry morning?
Yes, Santa has brought me this parcel.
Well, open it, young Simon. Do it!
Yes, Dad. I mean, Mr. Quinlan, sir, Lord of all his surveys.
Good.
Why? It is a book.
And what is it named? Answer me!
It's then named A Boy's Book of Hobbies. It is lovely. I love you, Mum. I'm Mr. and Mrs. Quinlan.
Speak not to me of love, Simon. Love is a metaphysical nicety born out of the basest human needs, and I will have no talk of love under my roof.
Go to your room now and do your hobbies and never bother us again.
I will do the hobbies, and I will be the best at doing hobbies in the whole world. And then, maybe then, Mr. and Mrs. Quinlan will love me.
I thank the Lord that my parents' favourite hobbies were recording every conversation they ever had and playing the harp, respectively. Or that momentous event would have been forgotten. I haven't forgotten. Oh, no. When I got to my room, I realised that the world of men was ugly and swore to spurn it. But as I turned the pages of the book, what delights awaited me. I saw that the world of hobbies was truly beautiful. Only in this brave new world would I find ease. Oh, brave new world that has such hobbies in it. Not only did I do every hobby in the book, I began to make up my own. The rest, of course, is history. This week's hobby celebrates the moment of epiphany, so that you, my followers, may rejoice in my life and the sacrifices I have selflessly made in the name of hobby for mankind. Decorate the fir tree with representations on coloured paper of me, Simon Quinlan, and all the hobbies I have done. That might include pictures of arse-rubbing, of vicars, egg-smashing, or the very different hobby of antique-smashing, or perhaps the grave of one of the old men I collect. Then, for the whole of the 25th of December, look at the tree with wonder. At 1 p.m, have your quinlankmus dinner. Drink your weak lemon drink! Drink the whole flask down in one! At all times thinking of me and pull a sad, respectful face! If you have parents, you might like to get them to put on masks of my parents, rush into the room in the afternoon and then smack and berate you, calling you a weak whore of foolishness before leaving you alone again. So alone. So lonely. You will do this hobby because you love me. And hobbies as well, but me mainly. And you must do it for always in the knowledge that I hate you and think you are an idiot. I spurned your stupid love, but do love me. Goodbye, you fools. And remember, love me. Love me. Love me.
Yes, no. This is the fantastic Goons with their inspired Walking Back for Christmas. See what the people in the 1950s used to laugh at. This was number 4 in the hit parade in June 1956. June.
I'm walking backwards for Christmas across the Irish Sea. I'm walking backwards for Christmas. It's the only thing for me. Walking sideways and walking to the front, and people just look at me and say, "It's a puppet stone." I'm walking backwards for Christmas to prove that I love you. An immigrant lad loved an Irish colleen from Dublin's Galway boy. He longed for her arms, but she spurned his charms, and she sailed o'er the foam away. She left the lad by himself on his own, all alone, a sorrowing. And sadly he dreamed, or at least that's the way it seemed, buddy, that an angel choir to him, an angel choir did sing. I'm walking backwards for Christmas across the Irish Sea. The finest thing for me, and so I've tried walking sideways and walking to the front, but people just laughed and said, "It's a publicity stunt." So I'm walking backwards for Christmas to prove that I love you. And for an encore.
Hey, I didn't think much of that. I think that my side was better.
Get that child out of here. Not much. Don't think much of this 1950s humor. It's just like people singing loads of stupid voices. We don't do that in the 1990s, do we, Rod?
No! It's all change. It's all change.
All change.
We've got Chris Killen on the line with his question for anyone. Chris, hello.
Hello.
Chris, go on.
What's your question?
Well, I've got a 7-year-old cat. Mm-hmm. And it's losing some hair on its stomach.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering whether I should take it to the vet.
Let's throw that question out to the man from the Ferrero Rocher advert.
Yeah, all right.
What do you think, man from the Ferrero Rocher?
Chilente.
Probably the wrong person to ask about
that.
Chilente.
It's,
yeah,
let's have a look at the... Okay, shut up. Let's have a look at the third lot of awards. Annabelle.
Yes, it's the award for the most Cornish-faced person. Mm-hmm. The nominations are Bob Holness, Brian Ferry, or Paul Brophy. Yeah.
And the winner is...
And the winner is... Oh, brilliant, it's Bob Holness.
Excellent.
Very impressive set of awards so far.
Yeah.
Now it's time for you to put all the hilarious things that have been going on to the back of your mind, pay attention, settle down, and pay some serious attention, because this is Newsbeat.